Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show.
We keep doing the psycho music, huh? We're going back to the psycho?
Every time I hear it, my head just goes around.
Yeah.
I need new camera angles every time I hear it.
Welcome back to Bates Motel, our
here
Bates
it is.
Motel wonderful After Buzz after show. We are so excited to be back in season 2, episode 1. It feels like it's been like
forever,
like 10 years.
Yeah.
The show we love very, very much.
And we're good.
Back doing it again. We're joined, as always, by our same crew. Nando Velasquez is not here, but he will be back next week. But we do have our normal people, which are Joe Sanfilippo.
Nice to be here with you guys.
And the lovely Dua Casey.
Hi, that's me. Welcome, everybody.
Hi, Dua.
Hey.
Long time no see.
I know.
It's good to see you.
I know. I just made the truck up the hill earlier.
Yes.
It's been a while.
We're back.
Here we are.
And there's good lots to be back with. Oh, and of course.
What's your name?
Oh. I was going to say that.
And so it begins.
My name is Joe Braswell.
I'm so glad to meet you, Joe Braswell.
Nice to meet you.
Everybody knows him by now. He needs no introduction.
He's introductionless.
Yes.
And on the wheels of steel, on the ones and twos, I have Marissa Serafini. Hi, Marissa.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad Bates Motel is back. I'm so excited.
Me too.
And they did not waste any time.
No.
They didn't waste any time. They got right into it. And I think they did a great job of recapping.
Yeah.
Eloquently, like subtly recapping everything. You know, it was my intention to kind of go back and watch season one again and watch all of our podcasts.
Did you?
Of course, I had no time to do that.
What?
Of course.
Not even the podcast?
Of course I had no time to do that.
I've listened to them 14 times since last year. It's all I do.
Some of us have a life. but unfortunately, I didn't do that. But in watching the season, you know, the season 2 opener, I felt like I was really brought up to speed on everything.
Yeah.
You know, everything. Like Norman with the taxidermy. Hey, remember, Norman's crazy.
Of
you know.
Course. It's a great, they did a really good job, actually, you know, setting the table last year, you know, creating the world, if you will, the town and the characters, and so much richer and more depth than we know from the psycho characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also giving us a real true origin story with Norma and Norman, sort of tapping into their, you know, incestuous kind of very strange relationship.
It's a little weird.
And also getting into Norman's losing time and then Dylan the brother. So and then the town itself and the sheriff and lots going on here. Lots going on. We pick up right where we left off, which if you remember, we left off with the lovely
Blair Watson,
no
longer
Watson.
With us,
being murdered,
which was a little weird. I mean, it did time jump a little bit later in the episode, but it didn't. We predict. I don't remember if we predicted that it would immediately time jump, and I found it shocking that they really kind of started right from where they ended.
Yeah,
you know, and how everything kind of.
But then they time jumped.
Yeah.
Well, then they went
only
4 months.
Only 4 months.
So we're technically behind right now.
Yeah. To a happier time. Did you notice how happy that time was?
It was so good, yeah.
Yeah.
4 months goes by and everything is colorful and Norma
rock
has...
Rockin' music, new hair.
Yep. Salmon shoes.
And that feels sort of like intentional, sort of the calm before the storm. And it's also this sort of sad thing where, you know, the moment I saw the motel's packed and Norma's bouncing around and everyone's happy and Norma's in the basement carving up a beaver. Everybody's doing their thing and happy. My man Dylan's selling weed. He's putting money on the table. I'm like, this ain't going to last.
Nope.
You know what? It's just, you're right. It is always the calm before the storm when Norman's carving up the beaver.
Right. Yeah. It just, I mean, he's really into that beaver.
It was the happiest that he looked the entire episode. Did you notice that? He was, yes, like smiling.
Yeah, well, carbon beaver makes you happy.
All right, we get it.
There it is. He's going to use that joke again.
No, I won't. I won't.
No, but yeah. No, it's,
I might.
It's, but he did. He was very happy. But before we jump in, let's go back to what we learned at the tail end of the episode.
Now, can I ask a quick question?
Go ahead, of course.
Pardon me whilst I'm interrupting you.
Please.
Do we? I don't recall from last season. He did not. We don't know for sure that he killed Watson, right, Emma?
We do not. We okay. Don't. So I don't believe that you were there for that podcast. I was completely shocked when we found out. I thought that, of course, yes, he did. But at the very, very last shot, when her throat was slit, she had the necklace that said B on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that kind of infers that, I don't know if it infers, but it, Bradley's dad was having an affair with a woman named B. So now all of a sudden there's that whole other world of people that could have killed her, that whole kind of
Gil
drug.
And all
of those people. So. Mm-hmm. As much as you know, it kind of makes you think it's Norman. That was the big question that we were all kind of working on. Did he kill her? Did he not kill her? And it's still up in the air. Right now, I don't think he did.
Unless it was, and it was not Bradley. We know it's not Bradley. Or do we not know it's not Bradley?
We don't know it's not Bradley.
Yeah, I mean, Bradley's, you know, number one in the clubhouse for me.
She's...
Really?
After tonight's episode, you know, I got to tell you, you can't not watch this show for 5 minutes, because if you turn your head for a second, you're going to miss something huge.
Dude, she smoked Gil so hard.
Hey, spoiler. Well,
I think if they're listening to the podcast, they saw the show.
Okay, you're right. No, that's the end. But I want to touch on the whole reintroduction of Norma and Norman, how important that was to sort of reestablish us back in that moment, because why that was important for me is, for a guy who's been away from the show, and I did binge watch it again, but I binge watched it a while back, and then you get wrapped up in True Detective and other stuff and Blacklist and whatever else you're watching, in Hannibal, of course, which I love so much, and you jump back into this world, and I realize how very specific this world is, the tone, the feel, the color palette.
Yeah, you jumped like right back in. It really kind of like just completely consumes you.
Yeah, and it was really, really cool. We talk a lot all the time, and I hate to reference other shows, but we talk all the time about, you know, Hannibal and True Detective specifically, how important, what a great job they do with the cinematography and the mood and setting the tone and everything else. This show does it as well as anything else, because immediately, once from the first frame of video, I was like, oh, I'm back in town. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Bates Motel. And it was wonderful. And to see, you know, Norman and Norma interacting again, like for old time's sake.
And I think that Carlton Cuse really kind of has his signature, because there's a lot of this show that really harkens back to Lost. A lot of the music, a lot of everything. And I kind of feel like, and I thought that Lost was very similar in that way, where when you watch the show, you really kind of became a part of that world. It was just everything was so intentional and so thought out. And it was just, you know, it was just really, really good television.
There's a very specific tone of sort of like, I guess there's no other way to describe it, but dread. There's a tone in the show that something bad is about to happen. Mm-hmm. And every minute that passes by that something bad doesn't happen, it makes me more and more uncomfortable. Yep. I'm like, just do it already. Something's going to happen.
Well, that's because we know what's going to happen. I think a lot of it is because we all know the story. We know how this story ends.
Sure.
We know where this is all going to go. Eventually, this bypass is going to get, and this is going to be an old abandoned hotel. And
she's going to lose that war.
Yeah, right. Poor Norma is going to be a skeleton that Norman visits way too often.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that informs the whole show. I don't think they have to go that far to set that sense.
They don't, but it's just, you know, much like in Hannibal, where you have the full canon, you know what's going to happen, you know everything else, and it's a great storytelling to be able to live in that world leading up to that. Bates Motel is not dissimilar. Like, we do know how this thing ends. We do know that, but it's really amazing, amazing storytelling for us to be able to still be very interested and riveted as to what's happening from moment to moment in this world.
Well, it makes the good times automatically bittersweet. Whereas if you're watching a show where you don't know how it ends up, a good time is a good time. You just take it for what it's worth because you don't know what's coming next. But when you know how the stuff's going to end, then when things are happy and go lucky, you're like, oh, you idiots. You don't know how crappy this is all going to get.
Yeah.
You know?
So
that's interesting.
In that moment, in that initial moment, when Norman's sort of telling the story to Norma in the beginning about, this is what happened, and that was this, and da-da-da, what happened to me.
At the beginning or at the end? Because at the beginning, he really didn't tell the story.
No, he didn't tell the proper story. But correct. He's saying something happened, and it just... the way Vera Farmiga played it, who's, you know, shout out to her because she's amazing. Blah,
I might
blah,
have
blah.
Said that I think she's a genius on a couple of occasions.
I'm shocked she didn't get an Emmy for that.
It's absurd. It's absurd.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really dumb. But it felt like she was very, very like, uh-oh. Like,
when did someone feel that
she's
way?
Like, what else, Norman?
Like, or she's framing it, you know? Yeah. Like, did you kill somebody else?
What
shit.
Else? What happened now? There was that moment, but did you catch that? Did you feel
well,
that?
I felt I just felt like she was very, very insensitive to the entire situation.
Right.
And when, you know, Norman was the only one, and mind you, just a little sidebar, at the funeral, I don't know if you guys noticed this, Norman was the only one at the
only
funeral.
Only one crying like that.
Well, and also the only one that wasn't covered with an umbrella.
Yeah.
He was the only one that was getting wet.
Yeah.
And that whole, everybody else was covered with an umbrella. He was the only one that really seemed distraught about it.
Right.
And like, completely torn apart. And even the scene in the car and the scene when he was, when Norman was telling his mother what happened, she was so insensitive. She was just your teacher.
Well,
yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Was it true insensitivity, or was it a woman whose son she knows is capable of killing, and he blacks out when he does it, and he doesn't remember it, and all the signs are there that this could have happened with this lady? Do you think she's kind of protecting him, going, you know what? She wasn't that important to you. Just move on and don't think about it and don't remember what happened.
I think that she was doing it at the end on the couch when she was like, she was seducing you. You're a good boy. You're a good boy. I think she was doing it then, but at the beginning, I didn't see it. At the beginning, I just saw her as being insensitive and kind of just, you know, she was just your teacher. But I could see how you guys would think that.
Yeah, I read it as like, just like, oh no, what did you do? Like, that's kind of how I read it. But, you know, we'll see. So we jumped ahead to 4 months later, as we talked about.
Well, after Bradley tries to kill herself, it's an important little tidbit there. Exactly. She does jump her happy ass off that bridge.
She does jump off the bridge. Yeah. She is a little distraught after she's...
That music that was playing, that totally I'm about to kill myself music. What was that song?
I don't know. I don't know what that was.
I don't want to hear it. It makes me want to kill myself.
it was very depressing.
I'm going to ignore that song.
You know, and look, after she, killed Miss Watson, she had to go do something. So she felt a little guilty about that. I think that happened.
You think Bradley killed Miss Watson?
I'm just calling it right now.
I think they're opening the line of possibilities. I don't think that
she did. That's probably too. Anyway, so she jumps off the bridge, tries to kill herself, does not succeed.
Bradley's character has gotten so dark. Like, do you remember her at the beginning of season one?
Yeah.
She was just like this blonde, like, hey, get in my car.
It's a very cool turn. Very cool turn.
It must be fun to play that.
Yeah, and so we're back. And so 4 months later, you know, the birds are chirping.
The sun is shining.
Full,
the motel's full.
The music's playing.
We got our girl working the. We got Emma working the front desk. They're, Norman's cutting up a beaver, like we talked about.
They're playing. the Haim is playing. You know, the soundtrack is great. And so you know, things seem to be happy. But again, like I said, you know, we know that this can't last for long.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things we do see, you know, in the interactions, we see what Norman is actually in this taxidermy hobby is getting. You know, more and more proficient.
Yeah, he's getting better.
He's got his first real sort of complicated animal there that he's very, very excited about making happen. We see also that it's inferred that Dylan is doing pretty well for himself in the business, and he still his open secret is that he's working and he's bringing in money.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want it. It's his dirty weed money.
And we also see that, you know, the hotel is thriving, but we know that won't last long because there's a bypass coming.
Yep.
So we sort of know what's going to happen there. But this world they've created. We also see our girl working the front desk.
Emma.
Yeah. So, and she seems to...
Velma with an oxygen tank?
Yeah, Velma with an oxygen tank.
Come on, Scooby.
She's still alive and kicking.
She's still
Velma
alive and
with
kicking.
An oxygen tank. I
and
love
she still has that, and she's still sort of carrying... I mean, she feels like she's still carrying the torch for Norman, even that short little scene where she's like,
seems,
this was returned.
Yeah, she seems bitter about it, though. She seems like she's so in love with him, and she just knows that it's hopeless, so now she's just like... You know, she takes care of everything. Yeah, she takes care of everything at the motel. He kind of comes and goes as he pleases. You know, he's obviously still in love with Bradley. But I think that at the end, she will always, you know, have that warm spot in her heart. But she's just kind of, you know.
Right. So the Miss Watson thing, we find out, like, obviously, the, you know, the world finds out that Miss Watson is gone, and so that, and that's, we have that, well, that happened earlier. So,
well, we have a driving lesson that comes up. We have this, which I thought was a fun device to remind us about the bypass, and then just to remind us that, you know,
it's a relationship.
Yeah, and it's hard enough to learn to drive when you're 16, much less when you're crazy and so is mom.
Right.
So, you know, it adds, you know, another layer of burden, and then we also get to go by the cemetery, so mom can do, like, God damn it, Norman, enough with this dead shit.
Yeah,
like you're dissecting things constantly. You're spending so much time at the cemetery. You need to be among the living,
and you need to be normal. Have you guys noticed? I mean, it'd be a fun drinking game if everybody took a shot every time Norma said normal.
Yes.
In this episode,
Norman, Norman, and normal. Yes,
yes. Just be normal. This is not normal, so Norman. Funny. You're not normal.
There's a reason why her mama named her Norma. Yeah. There's a reason why he named her boy Norman, because he wants everyone to be normal. I'm sure the grandma was not a good person either. I'm just gonna guess, you know.
Abs. Abnormal. No, yeah. Never mind. But yeah, old abs. That was terrible. That was awful.
No, but yeah,
I apologize.
I do love that. I do love that scene in the car, because it does sort of reestablish for us that their very weird dynamic.
And it's absolutely,
like it's this age old thing, you know, it's the mother and the daughter, the mother and the son, mm-hmm. driving, like you said, Joe. That scene we've seen a thousand mm-hmm. times play out all over the country. But then they're both nuts. And so, mm-hmm. and their interaction is so weird and incestuous that it just makes for something sort of interesting.
Well, I think it also reminds you how controlling and almost like manipulative she right. can be. You know, are you going to pass him? Well, if you are going to pass him, you yeah. need to do this.
It's so great.
And then how he is almost just like, she's a little bit wilder and he's not. He's like, well, you're going over the speed limit.
Right.
And you're doing this, and he's almost giving it back to her because he's just holding it all in and
right.
he's sick of taking it. But it definitely, yeah, reminds you of the dynamic of their relationship.
And it's not only that, like in the moment where he's driving, it really, you know, it plays out that sort of anger that's just under the surface for Norman.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like, mom, like he's really pissed, but it's kind yeah. of like, you know, it's just under the surface and she's doing the naggy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm almost like, man, you're going to end up in a rocking chair.
Yeah.
Like, just bones and just sitting. Just, can I tell you though, I love her so much. I love Vera Farmiga so much because
I didn't get that. Actually,
I've never mentioned
from
it.
From 13 episodes last year, I
never
didn't get
said
that.
That's all he talked about all last season.
So goddamn good. But just that little car ride, and just the whole passive aggressive, the weird thing. Well, if you're gonna do it now, but like you said, and then when he's doing, floor it. So yeah. it's that manic excitement that she gets.
Sure, mm-hmm. That's a really good. And it's
she had all another blowout this episode, too.
And we'll talk about that later.
Oh, yeah.
Man, like, she does that, like, sort of, like, weird hyper mix of, like, excitement and crazy and vulnerability and anger and, like, you know, like, she's like, on one hand, she's like a 16-year-old. Another hand, she's like a seductress. Another hand, mm-hmm. she's, like, conniving. But it all is, like, happening simultaneously.
Yep.
She's amazing.
Here's all I can say. I'd have definitely gone after her in college. There's no way around it.
Oh,
she's BF crazy, and I'd have been.
I think we established this last that you and I both would just be chopped
I'd
up
have been
somewhere.
Chasing her down the street.
we'd both be chopped up somewhere. after Norma got a hold of us, but we would have tried.
But she whips off the road on the way back. She whips off into the, because they're doing that bypass, and mm-hmm. she's up in that guy's grill.
Yes.
That's unacceptable.
Yes, which I was very surprised to not see her sort of go off on that guy. I was waiting. This is the thing. I was waiting for the classic Norma meltdown. I thought mm-hmm. in that moment, she has those weird things where she goes super, super calm, and she kind of walks away and she comes back. You know what?
Yep.
I just knew that was going to happen. When she got in the car and drove away, I'm like, oh, that went pretty well.
that guy's really lucky.
That went reasonably well for Norma, you know. But then, of course, we get to the...
Save it for the city council,
the
man.
The city council meeting.
First, we get Bradley. Bradley gets to, she goes after Gil a little bit, and I think it's such an interesting moment. It's almost like the turning point for her as a character, because she goes to this guy that her dad worked with, and I really think she expected that because I'm a cute little girl,
mm-hmm.
and he's a man who my father knew. I'm going to talk to him, and he's going to tell me some things.
Right.
And he really did give her the lay of the land for real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your father had no loyalty. He was a piece of shit. And I can tell you more if you want to come inside. And I think that is, for her, the total loss of innocence. Like, the attempt to kill herself seemed to me like desperate, you know, and I don't want to do this anymore. But that was like, if there was anything left of childhood, if there was anything left of innocence in her,
mm-hmm.
I think that exchange whipped it away.
Interesting.
Like,
I could see that.
You're not a kid anymore. I don't owe you shit. And if you want any information about your dad, who I probably killed, you're going to have to come give me right. some love for it.
And by the way, exactly. Because you're, you know.
Because you're hot.
Yeah. I want to get back to that, but I do want to stick with the Norman one. I want to go instead of going linear, I want to go into the Norma
thing,
and then we can jump back and then go to the Bradley route.
Hold on just one second. Yes. Before we did Gil actually kill Bradley's dad, or is this something that we still don't know yet?
I don't think we know for sure. It's certainly implied,
He's just an asshole to be an asshole,
He said at one point, he said, you know, I thought my problem with this guy was over. I'm pretty sure he did, but I think
the assumption is that he did.
Yeah, I
need to go back and rewatch, but I mean, you know, I'm sure the internet will tell me.
Yes, we will get yelled at.
Very angrily, like, everyone knows.
That you're a horrible person.
Bastard. But yeah, but I'm the assumption is that.
That happens.
Yeah. Right. But so you know, up to Norma, so we see, you know, Norma is very much settling, you know, she's settling in, she's just doing her thing, and there's something very admirable about this woman who's like just trying to get a fresh start for her and her boys.
Mm-hmm.
She's just trying to get this thing going.
Crawl up kinda, a cesspool.
Man, you're just kind of rooting for her, and like, you know, everything's happening, and then the goddamn the interchange or whatever it is, the mm-hmm. Bypass is there.
Mm-hmm.
And dadgummit, she's going to go down to the city council and she's going to give them a piece of her mind, or let them know. And she's all gussied up, mm-hmm. and she's so excited. And this is the brilliance of Norma, is she doesn't have a plan.
Well, and that's the deal over and over, right?
I think that she was just planning on going there and talking to them and having him. I don't think that she was expecting his reaction, because did you see how, and I loved her reactions.
Right.
Because they were so, like, she was shocked and she kept kind of moving her head back and she was sure. really like,
that's the best.
Like, what? Like, what? Like, you're not going to hear me? And this guy was a complete and total dick, in her words, yes. to her. And I don't think that that's what she expected. And so, you know, once again, she's going to have to, you know, survive, find a way to survive and kind of crawl up and do things her way.
Which and we've seen this before with her. Like, she sets herself up. She gets so excited. You know, Norman, you have to stand up for yourself in this life. And I'm going to go down there. I'm going to take care of it. And I'm going to, and I'm on the internet. And she was so excited. She was bouncing. Remember, she bounced back onto the bed to get on the internet to make sure she was on the list.
Yeah. Her little feet were kicked in the air. Yeah. A teenager. And she's just bobbing her head.
And she's getting into it. That's how she does. She gets herself way up here. And then reality just smacks the shit out of her. And he was so condescending and so snide.
Yeah.
And that was a beautiful outburst.
It's beautiful. Well, before we get to that, I think that it's important to know that this is a reoccurring thing with Norma, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Like you said, but this very specifically, there's something about she thinks, you know, I'm going to solve this, but I'm going to get dressed up in a cute little dress, and I'm just going to go in there, and I'm going to let them know, or I'm going to charm them, or I'm going to maybe half seduce them, or mm-hmm. I'm going to smile, or I'm going to bring an apple pie over.
Same thing with Bradley.
I was just thinking that.
Same thing with Bradley going to Gil.
I'm going to figure this whole thing out. I'm going to wink a little bit. And she got all dressed up, and she sat there, and she says, well, I just want you to know that I have a business, and the overpass is here.
Yeah.
You know, that was supposed to be it. You know, like, that was, like, they're like, well, excuse me, ma'am.
Stop everything.
That lovely dress and that hair makes me think that, you know.
Done.
But, he, like you said, he was very condescending, and he was very, appropriately so, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But he did not expect, and this is the
Wait
why.
A minute, appropriately so?
I think so.
Think about it.
It was a little excessive, I think. Well, it was a little excessive.
I guess you have several options at that point. You can kind of shut this thing down. Let's assume for a moment he's a city council member. You've got all these big box stores that are probably going to come line up on the highway. You've got federal highway dollars coming in. You've got state highway dollars coming in. You've got a tremendous amount of money riding on it. Let's assume that there's probably a great deal of kickback happening. So there's millions upon millions of dollars that are on the line for tons of companies that are involved in the actual building of the road, the zoning for the road, all of the actual equipment and the material that goes into the road. You know that he's getting pieces of all that shit because he's on the city council, decided to go get the road. So at this point, she comes in. She says, well, I'm not going to have full hotel rooms. Huh? Are you kidding? Do you have any idea what went into this? Are you insane?
Well, I think the notion that, I mean, why I think his reaction was appropriate because he let her have her say. He's like, and he really, like, he...
Well, he let her hang herself.
He's like, yeah. And? He said, well, that... He's like, no, tell us, please. Mm-hmm. You know, and then she sort of hung and said, well, you know, so you're saying this thing's going to bring us in millions of dollars is not appropriate, but because your hotel and your 8 rooms are going to lose money, that the whole town should suffer. Are we done here?
Yeah.
And like, I thought that was kind of appropriate. And she's like,
well, you know what?
You're a dick. Which is like, you know, the ultimate comeback. Like, that just shut. And what I love about that moment so much is the meeting's adjourned, and she's like, "You're a dick." And everyone's like, "Well, let's sit back down."
Right?
No, everybody stopped.
Next. Everyone sits back down, like, "Oh, wait, what's going
to
happen?
It's about
here?
To get good."
Let's hear what she has to say.
And then she delivers one of the all-time great Norma meltdowns. And not only just, you know, just as it was, again, it's that mixture of like a temper tantrum, and I'm angry, and I might kill you, but, you know, and it's like, it's so immature, but so like desperate the way she plays it as well. And then she's calling about in the room. It's great.
You're worried about the books. You're worried about whether or not there's murders and rapists. Well, that's what this world is.
Yes. It's a cesspool.
Oh.
You better educate yourselves. Yeah, she's very reactive.
Yes, she is.
Very.
She's very reactive. So, and it's also when she's sort of, you know, she is as that, like, when she's in a corner, you know, she'll, it's sort of setting up this personality that when she's backed into a corner, who knows what she will do or say. I mean, you know, she might, you know, she might do anything. She might kill somebody. She might yell. She might do whatever it takes just to solidify her position and point or protect her family. Which, you know, there's someone, if she wasn't crazy, I think that'd be cool.
I think it makes it fascinating watching her, and probably fascinating for Vera Farmiga to play her as a character, because she can go to so many places with that. You know, it's, you know, she can really have a lot of fun with it. And so I bet she's having a blast.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So
I don't know if I've mentioned, I think she's really, really good. Said something about it.
Not in the past 3 minutes.
All right, well, there you go.
So let's jump back. Let's talk about Norman a little bit here, right? Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the funeral where we see Norman sort of overreaction, it appears.
Yeah.
His overreaction, which to us plays out as what? Guilt, right?
Guilt and I wouldn't say shame, but I think it's definitely guilt, because I think that he feels completely responsible. And I don't think he thinks for one second that he did anything.
Right.
Like, he's completely unaware of the fact that it could have been, you know, him that did something.
Well, I think that we know now, based on his sort of confession at the end, that he genuinely is upset about, like, he blacked out and he could have helped her and he liked her. But I think that in the moment we sort of thought, like, oh, he killed her. Like, that's why he's so vocally guilty.
It was interesting because when he told the story to his mother, he was talking about how she went into the room and she went to undress. But wasn't he imagining that? Wasn't that part of something that he was imagining? Because then he saw the vision of his mother.
Yeah.
And then he kind of left. So, yeah. Well, how much of that was actually real?
Well, isn't that what he said, though? He's trying to explain. He's trying to find a way to say that to his mother without telling her that, right?
Right.
And he said, I felt wrong, but I felt right. And then I felt, I'm guessing at that point he's getting to the image of her instead of Miss Watson.
Yep.
And then, you know, I think he kind of shut himself down at that point. Like, you know, I can't tell you that I got a chubby thinking about you dressed in her clothes.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Working on the... I mean, that's what happened, though. I mean, isn't it?
That's essentially, inferred.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something incestual there.
I mean, there's this whole thing. And, you know, look, there, you know, the whole Norma thing, too, is also, they're such close talkers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's always...
Way too much touching.
Way close talkers, like nose to nose, having conversations. Like, her chin is on his shoulder a lot, you know, and he's just kind of cuddled up. And it's just a little, you know, it's funny. And they fight like
look
that.
Look at the face. I can't
but
handle it.
Back to the outpour of emotion there. It's also, you know, a key insight into Norman's sort of personality as well, whereas this is a person who is, you know, who can't control. Like, he's got a controlled side, but just underneath the surface is, like, all these, whatever it is, ready to just burst out. So when he's angry, he's going to black out and go crazy. He might kill someone. When he's sad, he's just going to bawl uncontrollably sad, you know? And it's like, this is sort of how, sort of, again, sets the table as the kind of personality you're dealing with Norman, you know?
Yeah, it's like he has no filter. He is who he is.
Exactly.
Which, in a way, is kind of endearing.
Right.
You know, it's like
except when he kills people.
He's, well, it's...
Allegedly.
Well, yeah, I think that's the brilliance in his character. It's like you can make a person that you know is a killer endearing. You know, he's going to cry about this. He could have killed somebody, but yet he writes Bradley every single day.
Yeah.
You know, and he does have a lot of soft places in his heart, and he's actually a good person. He just, you know, can't.
What do those letters say?
Can
Hello, which, Bradley. I stuffed a beaver today. Thought of you. No?
Oh.
Only the first six. After that, he's changed.
Sanfilippo's sad he didn't think of that joke first.
He's kind of sad. It was a good one.
It was good.
I don't know. But so, okay. So, you know, we see Norman, you know, going, you know, doing his thing. We see the driving thing, but we also see him going to visit the grave on his own, to where he sees someone there.
He sees some random dude, takes a bunch of pictures.
Was that, hold on, was it a random dude?
No.
For a second,
no.
Was that Gil?
No.
No, that was
some other guy.
Dude. Maybe I'm just thinking of him.
I don't think it was Gil, though.
No, it wasn't Gil for sure, but I think was he in season one?
He's familiar. I think I've seen the actor before, but I don't remember if he's been in the show before.
Internet, please help us.
Yes. Yeah. Don't yell at us, but please help us.
Please comment right
comment
in.
Gently and help us out. Do that. Yeah.
But so he runs out of there. He gets away, but he gets all those pictures because, you know, he does not have any clue that he might have been a part of this. I don't think he has any, you know, there's none of that in him.
Yeah, and so he takes pictures and goes to our favorite guy, Sheriff.
Mm-hmm. That was an interesting scene.
I would not want to sit down with Sheriff Romero. He starts asking questions. He he's very well written, and he's very well acted, and he just starts.
So aloof.
He just slides right into those questions.
I have a surprise. Hey. Surprise for you, Joe.
Tell me,
Sheriff Romero, Nestor will probably be on this program.
Ooh.
He might be in studio.
He might be under the table right now.
He might be sitting on that couch right there.
Asking questions?
Next week.
Oh, yeah?
Or the week after.
That would be fantastic.
I don't know. We're working on it, but he's definitely going to come on the show.
That's fantastic.
Nice. So we can ask him all this stuff. So yeah, we're all big fans, so we can talk to him before.
It's such a good, so good.
Yeah.
So good. And I think the fact that, you know, Norman just wants to get to the bottom of, like, whoever killed him, whoever killed Miss Watson. And it's interesting how it's funny how the line of questioning from Sheriff Romero might seem like he is accusing Norman or trying to get to the bottom of it, but for some reason I felt like he was asking to protect Norman.
Right.
And he kind of wanted to know, he's like, you know, he doesn't need to go by that grave anymore. He doesn't need to go by that site because bad people are over there and he doesn't want Norman. Like, that's kind of the vibe that I got. That they want you to think that it's because he's suspicious of Norman, but he's not. He's actually protective.
I mean, what's our take on Sheriff? We went back and forth with Romero last season. What's our take on Sheriff Romero? Good guy, bad guy?
He lives in a town that's, I mean, it's a gray town. There's no black and white in this town. It's a gray town, and I think he's a gray sheriff. But I think as far as the questions go, I think that's his natural personality.
I think he's a decent man, trying to work, keep the peace within the confines of this wacky town, where, you know, all the moving parts of this town.
Let me give you my two cents on this.
Does he have an agenda? I would love to hear your two cents.
Here's my two cents.
Let's hear it.
I think we got some very clear stuff with Bradley going to Gil with that naivete, like, hey, I want to know about my dad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, then get on your knees and I'll tell you anything you want to know afterwards.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then we got Vera goes before the city council, like you said, all gussied up. Well, I don't like this road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, too goddamn bad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we've got some really serious, some very clear moments of power versus not power. And I think with Sheriff Romero, it is interesting because this town is very clearly, it's a microcosm for the world. But I mean, it's the, there are powerful people and not powerful people. And he's kind of the guy who's kind of negotiating between all that.
Right.
So I think that he's going to do his, it seems to me anyway, thus far, he's done his best to be decent within the confines of that.
Right. I agree. I think that there's, you know, Sheriff Romero's definitely doing some dirt and definitely knows more than he should, and we know that he knows more, but I think that I think he's just trying to keep the shit in the horse, as you said, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, there was that whole storyline, and I should have gone back to watch season one again. There was a whole storyline with the money, and, you know, he definitely has some dealings. I think that he definitely has some hands in some cookie jars.
Yes.
You know, I think I might have made a prediction that I thought that he was, like, the boss last season, and I don't know. The thing is, I know that they have not revealed enough for me to even take an educated guess at this point.
Yeah.
Because just when you think you know, you're going to be way off because they're going to unravel things. So
I made that prediction too, that he's the big boss, the big overboss.
Yeah. There was also another question that I wanted to ask you later, Sanfilippo, and this has to do with our finale show that we did with Nando.
Uh-huh.
You asked a really pivotal question.
I did?
You did.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you were eloquent and brilliant, whatever
and
it was.
You asked a really interesting question, and you never had the chance to answer it because you were not here, so I wanted to get your, you know.
Is that a toupee, Flippo?
Yeah.
No, this is all real.
Okay.
I comb over from the back, and it just goes right to the top, up and over.
That's answered.
Done.
Mystery solved. Busted.
I do want to talk about Norman.
Are we going to ask the question?
Yes. Okay, I can ask the question. You'll probably remember this question. So, Norma was raped by her brother, right? Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Norma was raped by her brother when she was like 17 years old. So what is Norman, ooh, or actually I thought Dylan was, is Dylan actually Norma's uncle?
Oh,
no, no, no.
That's right.
Yeah, remember this?
Yeah.
Hold on. It would be her, yeah, her nephew. It'd be her nephew and her son.
Her nephew's son.
Right.
Ooh, God,
which,
I don't know.
I mean, that would explain a lot of, and you asked it for Norman, but I actually think it's true for Dylan because that would explain a lot of why she kind of holds so much animosity towards Dylan and really doesn't kind of like accept her.
That makes sense.
Accept him as her son.
That's a good question.
And she's
you
so,
asked it. It was your question.
Oh, there we go.
I'm brilliant.
Whoever said that.
That's
Joe,
interesting.
You were saying
something? Ooh, I don't know. I mean, like, because she does treat him much more like a brother than a son, and it's much more of a the whole dynamic. I mean, he calls her Norma, you know, and
she really just seems to like did not like him, and you know,
it's interesting. I don't know. I'm gonna think on it.
Okay. So, but we, you know, so
well, we
go ahead.
One thing we haven't talked about is we Norman when he goes to see Bradley. And he's so eloquent and unequivocal in his love for her and his devotion to her. I wrote you every day. I just want to let you know that, you know, when you tried to kill yourself and you must have felt so alone, so lost, so hopeless, and you should never feel that way because I'm here for you no matter what. And and she doesn't even look up. Mm-hmm. And he comes out with all of that. And
yeah.
He arrived in the nick of time, by the way.
Right?
Yeah, in the nick of time.
Hollow
it's
point
like,
would have blown her face off.
Yes, yeah. And we see that hollow point is very good at blowing faces off.
It does.
Yes.
It works well.
It works well.
Yeah. It's just in.
Yes. Yeah, that was very sort of heartbreaking in that moment. And, you know, it's again, it's weird how we can feel so much for these, you know.
But I think what makes it so brilliant is that it actually, like, I feel like, this totally parallels Norman's relationship with Norma and Norman's relationship with Bradley and where it's going to go is I think that he's going to allow himself to be completely and totally manipulated by Bradley because his mother does it to him.
Right.
And this is just, you know, because she's going to use the hell out of him now because she doesn't care about Norman. She cares about Dylan, which was obvious because she's been emailing him.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to be a crazy little love triangle later on in the season.
Yeah, I agree. There is we have that, you know, sort of episode with Norman and Bradley, but then we also have the Bradley Dylan exchange, which is very cool too. And we get to see Dylan. You know, Dylan's the one guy in the entire series, with the exception of Emma, who, you know, who just seems like, you know,
normal,
heart of gold, really in it, you know, in it for all the right reasons, which. He can't possibly survive, you know, right? He's not going to make
it. Well, we didn't expect him to get out of season one, so let's be honest.
Yeah, maybe season three, but he's not long for the world. He's just too earnest.
Hmm.
But he's doing all the right things. He explains it. Now, he's clearly likes, you know, is into Bradley.
Yeah.
Clearly is into her. Clearly also wants to protect his brother,
and
who
yet.
He knows is in love with her. This thing is going to blow the fuck up, right?
Yep.
I mean, you've got Dylan and her, and she's manipulating, and then this, and then Norma's floating around, and Emma, and like it's all bad.
Yeah, she's not an easy one to turn down over time. I don't imagine that.
No,
yeah, that's a tough one to
and
walk away from.
I mean, she's a little bit crazy, and she's a little bit I definitely think that
all the ingredients are there. A little bit crazy, lot
but
bit
she
hot.
Came back, a lot bit hot, a little bit crazy. That's it. Yeah. Like,
that's a lot.
Like, isn't there like a weird curve, like the crazy to hot curve?
Oh, absolutely.
That you see, like that's like
it's like a mathematical formula.
It is. It's something like, I think it's from like Barney from How I Met Your Mother or something, but it's like a weird, you know, the hot versus crazy.
Hot crazy scale.
And then the scale. Hot crazy scale. Thank you. The hot crazy scale.
Marissa Serafini, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, she's
coming through like a champ.
Yeah, the hot crazy scale. She's both on the, I mean, look, Norma's doing pretty well on the hot crazy scale too.
Norma's top of the
she's
list.
She's right
hot
in the zone. Yeah.
She's in the sweet spot of the map. That's
sweet
for
spot.
Sure. I really, really liked what Dylan said though. You know, he's like, that's my brother, and there's some lines you don't cross. And I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
Stand up guy.
It. Yeah, I bought it too.
I bought it.
He means it.
But it's not going to last.
Until she.
Until she. What's the scale, Marissa?
Hot crazy.
Hot
crazy scale.
And a line like that will only make Bradley want him more.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we can't do this.
Right.
There's nothing more sexy than the unattainable.
Is it really?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's
I got to start turning my wife down. I'll be like, no, this is not for you.
Well, she's going to ask first.
You know? Oh, damn it. That's right.
That's the first.
I knew it was a loophole to my plan.
But The no, but the fact that, yeah, she was, you talked about the transformation of Bradley, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, she was, now that she's come back, it's, you know, like I said, we talked about, she's come back to Dylan as this new gun toting kind of like running mascara,
eyeliner
broad,
yeah,
you know, yeah, that's rough. So, but we do see that after she gets that information from Dylan, mm-hmm. which is sort of all the information she needs, she then goes on a mission, which I knew that was going to end badly. I think it was going to end that badly. I knew she was playing him the whole time. I think she's going to take him out. And even when she pulled the gun, I thought, like, oh, here we go. It's going to be, you know.
Well, she obviously knew, like, she didn't even try and get any information. She pulled the gun, and it's not like, okay, now tell me.
Right.
She just, it's like she didn't, she's like, I know that you're not going to give me the information. I just want you dead.
Yeah.
Or did she get to the bottom of it beforehand?
Yeah.
I
don't know.
I don't know either.
I think the bottom line is that, you know, I think it's great that they sort of set her up as this I don't give a F person, right? Wow. Because she's a person who tried to kill herself twice. She's on the, you know, on the verge, on the edge. She's back.
Twice.
She doesn't care.
Oh, the gun.
Gun to her face, maybe, you know. You don't think that was real?
Well.
I mean, I don't know.
It was a little melodramatic, but right. Might have.
30 more seconds, who knows?
It doesn't take much to make those guns go boom. I mean, they're not designed to not go.
So now she's like in a world where she doesn't give a crap, but what does she do when that thing happens in that crazy, exciting moment? And she goes straight to our boy Norman and says,
did you mean it?
Yeah, the patsy. Which sets up what we know the season will be about, right?
Yeah, this is the night we were screwing all night, remember?
Right. And this is also, I mean, you know, what a tangled web. So you have this sort of crime, you know, mid-level crime boss guy who's directly connected to Dylan, who turns up dead. People aren't going to like that he's dead. Their bosses aren't going to like that. Of course, you know, Sheriff Campbell's going to have to, I mean, Sheriff Romero's going to have to investigate that, you know. Norman's going to know what's going on. Dylan's going to eventually have to know what's going on, or Willie won't. It's going to be a really the tale of intrigue already just set up in this one, episode is like, I can't wait to see how this plays out.
I love how they layer it.
Right.
They really do a good job of like layering it. Like we're just going to kind of pepper all this stuff in, and yeah, it's exciting. It's good stuff.
It's very exciting. We're very excited to see where this goes. I think that's everything. We talked about the Norman Norma last confession situation and how Norma handled
a little bit.
All right.
A little bit.
I don't think that she was surprised at all. And right. I love how she like immediately rationalized it. She looked at him. She was like, all right, you were being seduced.
Right.
That's like, I'm going to tell you exactly the story that we're going to go with, because she's going to have to, you know, and immediately she becomes that nurturing mother.
Yeah.
You know, she was like, Norman, you have to stop doing this. You have to stop doing this. Like, you're acting crazy. What are you doing? And the second that he confessed to her, she completely flipped it around, and she was like, all right, you know, you're a good boy.
And don't forget that Norma has this weird jealousy streak going on, right? She has this sort of overprotective, I don't want you with other women thing. She kind of floats it out there, but really, so that moment when she's like, well, did you sleep with her? You know,
which is an odd question. That's not like, isn't that an odd question?
No, I think that's a legit question.
No, that's
absolutely.
If you're Norma, it's a perfectly, because I don't care about anything else. Did you sleep with her?
Well, I mean, he told her, you know, it seemed like she was attracted to me and you know.
Yeah,
and,
but that's a Norma question. She doesn't want anybody with Norman at all.
Well, it's a question, I feel like it's a question of like a jealous girlfriend, not a question of a mother.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know, man. I've got kids. You got kids. If I heard that story, I'd be like, I wouldn't say, did you sleep with her? I'd be like, well wait, tell me exactly what went on.
But the
slow
context,
down.
But you're not Norma Bates. Like the context of you know, the messenger. Like Norma Bates asking Norma, like in the middle of this sort of like confession, she's like, whoa. Did you guys do anything? Did you sleep together? Like that's not the first question. That's not how you slow it down and ask. You know.
So do you think she was asking like the normal, like, will there is there DNA of yours there? Do you think what she was asking?
No, I think it's a pure jealousy thing.
This, no, instead of jealousy.
This is, I mean, we know from Psycho. We know the whole thing. We know from season one. Mm-hmm. You know, Norma is not trying to have Norman be with these whores.
Do they ever sleep together?
Who? Norman, Norma?
Yeah, like, do they, is it ever actually, like, I don't know from, like, the movies or anything, does it ever, like,
no,
do they,
I mean,
like, does it or doesn't it?
They don't say, it's not part of the Psycho canon, if you will, but we will, I mean, who knows? I don't know that there would be actual sex, but.
That would be crazy. That would be nuts.
I don't know if they're going to go there. I'd be surprised if they went there. But they're going to go close. I predict that this season they will go close. In fact, let's get into actually get some news and gossip first.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Do any of you watch American Horror Story?
Yes.
So Thaisa Farmiga is Thaisa Farmiga is Vera Farmiga's sister.
Sister.
21 years younger than her.
Everyone thinks it's her daughter, but it's her sister.
Her sister. And what I find so fascinating about this is that actually she's the youngest of seven children, mm-hmm. and she never wanted to get into show business. Mm-hmm. But in 2011, when Vera Farmiga made her directorial debut in the movie Higher Ground, she needed somebody to play a younger version of her character and talked her sister into playing it. And her sister at the time was 15 years old, did an amazing job. It did an amazing job at all, like the independent film circuits. And now she is doing really well and
successful. Her sister's
successful.
Good.
Yeah. Is there a picture? Do
it's
we have
in
a picture?
The jeans. I don't think so.
Oh.
I think
they look exactly alike. Exactly alike. So I just think it would be kind of funny and interesting if we, you know, just kind of piggyback that on that for news and gossip, if they actually brought her in to play a young Norma.
Right.
I think it would be really cool to kind of, you know, play a young Norma. They look, I actually thought that it was her daughter as well. And she's still young. She was, you know, 16 in 2011. So that makes her what, like 19 now?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
That's how the math works. Yes.
Yeah. 3 plus 6.
Three plus six to seven. Carry the.
Right.
Oh no, she's 46. Yes. How did that happen?
Yes.
And then what was the thing? We're also who else is going to be on the show this season? They're going to introduce, like, as far as characters, they're going to introduce what is it? Norman's father.
There they are.
Oh yeah. See, don't they look alike?
They look alike. She's adorable. They're both adorable.
Yeah. No, I think that she should play a young Norma. Yeah.
That's sweet.
Is it Norma's mother? Norma's father. Isn't it Norma's father is going to be on this season?
I think so. I'm not going to even touch that one. Because
there's
going to
be, I know there's going to be a big character from the past is definitely going to come back this season again.
Well, good. Well, I mean, we're very, very excited for season two and to be bringing this back to you every week. But let's get into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Joseph, Salvatore, Sanfilippo.
Well, I think that it's pretty clear that Bradley's going to rely heavily.
What is that?
Doesn't matter what that is. I think it's pretty clear that Bradley is going to rely heavily on Norman to give her an alibi for having blown Gil's head off. But I think that Emma is going to be drawn into that inevitably. And I think that Emma's going to be Emma's going to have to choose eventually whether or not she's going to support this thing, and that's going to be a heartbreaking decision for her. And I think that that's going to be some character stuff between Emma and Norman long term, because I think everybody else will kind of like whatever, but Emma's going to kind of smell it because Emma's got a nose for that kind of stuff.
Okay, Dua.
Well, you know, it is a little bit early, I think, in this game to make predictions, but I definitely think...
It's part of our show.
Well, I definitely think, I mean, as I said earlier, I'm going to harken back to, I definitely think that the Dylan, Bradley, and Norman thing is going to become a serious, you know, kind of love triangle.
Yep.
That's all I got for right now. You're gonna have to give me some time.
All right,
I'm
taking some big swings.
Take a swing, Brez.
Big swing.
He's calling his shot, people. He's pointing at center field right now.
It's a big season long swing.
Bum bum bum.
Ultimately.
Bum bum bum.
Thank you. Any predictions?
Bum bum.
Ultimately, I think that the way this thing's gonna play out with the Norman and Bradley is obviously you know. The season will continue on with Bradley sort of stringing Norman along and them helping each other and going back and forth and whatnot. Norman will feel ultimately betrayed by Bradley. I think I predicted this last season. I'm going to stick with it. Norman is going to kill Bradley. I think Bradley is going to be Norman's sort of, you know, like first
he's gonna
female
pop the cherry there.
Kill there. I also do think it will also happen in the shower. I think that Bradley is going to go down in the shower. In room number four, whatever that room is, and it's gonna, so I don't know how it's gonna work. I thought it was gonna be Emma at one point, but I really think it's gonna be Bradley, and it's gonna be a situation where Norman is totally upset and angry by being used by Bradley in the way that he's used by her, and Norman's gonna take her out.
That's a good prediction.
Well, that would start kind of like, once he kills somebody in the shower of room four, that would start the pattern.
Yeah.
That he continuously kills again and again.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that he's going to kill someone every week. It could be every 2 years, but like that's, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. But at least I think that will start the pattern. But I don't know that he's going to go full blown psychopath like Dexter by season three. But I do know that I do think Norman's going to make a kill this year. I do think it's going to be Bradley.
Do we know how much time we have? Like, how long we have until, you know, Vera Farmiga's character is dead. Because in the movies, Psycho, he wasn't that old. No. And he's like 18 now, right?
No, it felt like he was in his 40s, right?
He's 16 or 17. He wasn't not in his 40s. I don't know what movie you're watching.
Late 20s.
Late
20s. He was like, he's mid to late 20s. He was young.
He only has a few years to go completely off the handle here.
And I don't know exactly.
I mean, in your 40s, that's old. I mean, when you get in your 40s, that's when things get deep. So that's my bad. You're right.
Thank you for joining us here on After Buzz, after Baseball Tell After Show.
Thank you for making us number one. We're number one right now.
Oh, we are? Really?
Wow.
Yeah, we're number one, and this is our first show, so that means that everybody's been going back and watching the past
seasons. Thank you
for
downloading and watching.
I hope we were brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, please, and thank you for downloading us on iTunes and commenting, and please continue to comment and, you know, good or bad, rate us. Helps other people find us as well, and on YouTube as well. We appreciate all of you.
Although, we do love fives.
Oh, he says we love fives. We do. Joe Flippo, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Twitters at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo, and my website is josephsanfilippo.com.
And do a case to work with
finance. And his email is
right. My address
his phone
is,
number is
oh ladies.
Do a Casey on Twitter, DuaKaiSSI on Twitter.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. Thank you very much for joining us. Oh, Nando Vell is at Nando Vell. You can find him on Twitter at Nando Vell and Instagram on @NandoVell.
You can't find him here right now.
No, you cannot, but you'll find him here next week.
Along with
who? Oh, maybe a special guest, but we'll see. For the lovely Marissa Serafini, I'm Joe Braswell, and Joe Sanfilippo, and Dua Casey. Blah, 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 blah. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.